born. So there's that. And it wasn't a tragedy. Everybody was really excited about that miracle of life that happens every 11 seconds. Remember? Everybody was just so stoked. Maybe you don't remember. Fair enough. But the reality is, in the law of nature, we were all born. That's why we're here. If there's any philosophy majors in the room, fuck off. On the other end of the spectrum, in the law of nature, there's death. That's the exciting part. It's learning how to live for a living. There's the tricky bitch. But ultimately, once we rise above it, death is no tragedy. Yes. Especially if you're in it right now, I'm not here to demean or diminish the valid grieving process you're going through. But I am saying that the ego attaches such amounts of weight and position to those we lose. But ultimately, death is not a tragedy, and it's not a surprise. Ever since we got here and we could comprehend it, we've all known it's going to happen to every last one of us. And so what I would like to encourage you all to do tonight, besides participating more in your existence, is also to participate a little bit more in psychological evolution and stop making everything such a goddamn tragedy. For instance, you don't have to wait for Katrina to happen to go check in on your neighbor. In between the born part and the death part is something else that happens, that pursuit for life and love and happiness and joy, a sustainable joy, a warmth, not the desperate burning thing you've been mistaking for love, but a true warmth. And in that, oftentimes what happens, and somebody in them is bound to be going through it right now just by odds. Thanks for waiting to come back till I'm done. Is that sometimes one person loves another person and it's not reciprocated. And the person who loves the most feels like they're at the mercy of the person who loves the least. And it may cause them to sit on the edge of their bed for weeks or even months at a time with the wind knocked out of their heart, not knowing what to do with that rejection, the knife fight in their ego. And it's quite a thing to contend with indeed. And the last time I was in it, somebody said to me, forgive and forget. And I remember that while I find that to be a fantastic concept, I had no idea how to implement it, and it only served to piss me off. Forgive and forget. If you're in it tonight, if you're in the sticky tar pit of it, the part where it's been consuming you for a long time and you don't know how to get it out from your vision, I just want to ask you if you would. I know there's nothing I can do to say anything to solve it or take that away for you, but I would just like to ask you to make it have a seat next to you for about 4 minutes and just be with us right here and don't let it consume you right now. Give me 3 or 4 minutes because I want to talk about forgiveness. And what I want to say is this. It's that if we were created in God's image, then when God was a child, he smushed fire ants with his fingertips and avoided tough questions. There are ways around being the go-to person, everybody, even for ourselves, even when the answer is clear. Like the holy water Gentiles would drink before they realized. Forgiveness is the release of all hope for a better past. I thought those were chime shells in your pocket, so I chucked a quarter at it, hoping to hear some part of you respond on a high note. You acted like I was hurling crowbirds at mockingbirds and abandoned me for not making sense. Evidently, I don't experience things as rationally as you do. For example, man, I know mercy when I have enough money to change the jukebox at a gay bar. Somebody's got to change that. Shit. mercy whenever someone shoves a stick of morphine straight up into your heart. It felt amazing the days you were happy to see me. So I smashed a beehive against the ocean to try and make our splash last longer. Remember all the honey? Had me looking like a jellyfish, ain't but you. You walked off the water in a porcupine of light. Strands of gold drizzled out to the tips of your wasps. This, it's an apology letter to the both of us for how long it took me to let things go. It was not my intention to make such a production of the emptiness between us, playing tuba on the tombstone of a soprano to try and keep some dead singer's perspective alive. It's just that I could have swore you sung me a love song back then, and that you meant it. But I guess some people just chew with their mouth open. So I ate earplugs alive with my throat, hoping they'd get lodged deep enough inside the empty spots that I wouldn't have to hear you leaving. So I wouldn't have to listen to my heart keep saying, all my eggs were in a basket of red flags, all my eyes to a bucket of blindfolds, in the cupboard with the muzzles and the guns. You know, I didn't mean to speak so far out and off, trying to drive your nickels to a well when you were happy to let them wishes drop. But I still show up for gentleman practice in the company of lead dancers, hoping their grace will get stuck in my shoes. Is that a handsome shadow on my breath, sweet woman? Or is it a cattle call in a school of fish? Don't dance with me. Less like a waltz for panic and more for the way we hoped to swing the night we took off everything and we were swinging for the fences. Don't hold it against my love, you know I want to breathe deeper than this. I didn't mean to look so serious, didn't mean to act like a filthy floor, didn't mean to turn us both into some cutting board, but there were knives stuck in the words where I came from. Too much time in the back of my words. I pulled knives from my back end, my words. I cut trombones from the moment you slipped away. You don't know it left me looking like a knife fight. Lady boy, I know it left me feeling like a shotgun shell. You know, I know I might have gone and lost my breath, but I want to show you how I found my breath to death. It was buried under all the wind instruments, hidden in your castanets. God damn, if you ever want to know how it felt when you left, if you ever want to come inside, just knock on the spot where I finally press stop playing musical chairs with your exit signs. I'm gonna cause you a miracle when you see the way I kept God's image alive. If I really was created in God's image, then when God was a boy, he wanted to grow up to be a man, a good man. And when God was a man, a good man, he started telling the truth in order to get honest responses. He'd say, yeah. I know. I really should have worn my cross for you. Again. But I don't want to scare the Gentiles off. That's not what I came here to do. I came here to love you.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
After a long weekend of talks, the Clinton administration and its counterpart in Mexico City have worked out a deal that should speed the flow of U.S. dollars to the depleted Mexican treasury. Mark Noller has more.
The White House confirms that the administration has reached agreement with the government of Mexico on the terms and conditions under which the U.S. will go forward with its $20 billion bailout of the peso. But details are being withheld until a joint midday announcement by Treasury Secretary Bob Rubin and his Mexican counterpart, Finance Minister Guillermo Ortiz. In response to U.S. demands that Mexico tighten its credit and shrink its money supply, The central bank there boosted its interest rates yesterday to nearly 50%.
There have been reports that the U.S. would put Mexican oil revenues in escrow to act as collateral for the loan. Two of New England's biggest banks are merging to join the top 10 among the nation's banks. Fleet Financial Group, based in Providence, has agreed to buy Shawmut National of Hartford and Boston, the deal valued at $3.7 billion. Kevin Timmons is an analyst with First Albany Corporation.
The consolidation of individual banks into larger banks has an overall beneficial effect on the industry and on our national economy by reducing redundant expenses.
The merger is expected to result in some 3,000 job losses as the companies cut overlapping operations. The new Fleet Financial will have assets of $80 billion plus $50 billion in deposits.
Yellow model chick, yellow bottle sipping, yellow Lamborghini, yellow top missing. Yup, yup, that stuff looked like a toupee. I get what you get in 10 years, in 2 days.
Ladies love me, I'm on my Cool J. If you get what I get,
what would you say? He whacks it on and off, Mr. Miyagi. And them suicide doors, Arikari. Look at me now, look at me now. Every jigger that try to be on my stuff. Better cuff your man if you will if I can get him, cause he accidentally slip and fall on my crack. Oops, I said on my crack. I didn't really mean to say on my crack, but since we talking about my crack, all you haters say hi to that. I'm done. No, really though, I'm not done.
Let's go.
Cause I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I gotta get away, get away, get away. But I know that I don't and I won't ever stop, cause you know I gotta win every day, day. See, they don't really, really wanna pop me. Just know that you will never stop me. And I know that I could be a little cocky. Oh, you ain't never gonna flop me. Every time I come a jigger, gotta set it, then I gotta go, and then I gotta get it, then I gotta blow, and then I gotta shatter any little thing a jigger think it'd be doing, cause it doesn't matter, cause I'm gonna murder everything and anything about a boom, bada bing. I gotta do a lot of things and make it clear to a couple jiggers that I'm always winning, and I gotta get it again and again and again. And I be doing it to death, and now I move a little foul, a jigger better call a rev, and everybody know my style, jigger know that I'm the best. When I come, I'm doing this, and I be banging on my chest, and I'm banging in the east, and I'm banging in the west, and I come to give you more, and I will never give you less. You will hear it in the street, or you could read it in the press. Do you really wanna know what's next? See the way we on it when we all up in the race, and you know we gotta go, don't try to keep up with the pace, and we struggle and hustling and sending it and getting it, and always gotta do it, take it to another place. Gotta taste it, and I gotta grab it, and I gotta cut through all this traffic just to be at the top of the throne. Gotta know I gotta have it. Look at me now, look at me now. I'm getting paper, look at me now, look at me now, yeah, yeah. Fresh, what? Man, forget these haters, how y'all doing? I'm Lil Toonchi, I'm a nuisance, I go stupid, I go dumb like the Three Stooges. I don't eat sushi, I'm the stuff, no pollution, no substitution. Now I'm chilling, playing movies in my jacuzzi, fruit is juicy. I never give a damn about a hater, got money on my radar, dressed like a skater, got a big house, came with an elevator. You jiggas ain't eating, go tell a waiter. Molly said shoot him, and I said okay, you on that bullshit. I'm like Olay, don't care what you say, so don't even speak. Your boyfriend a freak like Cirque du Soleil. That's word to my flag, and my flag red. I'm out of my head, yo, I'm out of my mind. From the bottom I climb, you ain't harder than mine. Nope, not on my time, not even trying. What's poppin' slime? Nothing vibing. If they trippin', forgettin' five. Ain't got no time to shuck and jive. These jiggas as sweet as pumpkin pie. So rockin' Sprite on a private flight. Yo, I've been Tyson's guiding light, and my pocket's white. My diamond's white, my mama's nice, and my daddy's gone. Yo, peace be scared, cause I'm too wild. Been here for a while, I was like, no try. I puts it down, I'm so young money. You got eyes, look at me now. Oh, look at me now, look at me now. I'm getting paper, look at me now. Look at me now, yeah, yeah. Fresh drama, what? Okay. Okay. Is that right? I'm fresh than a mug. What?
Well, oftentimes Goodwill workers will find some loose change in donated clothing, but this week they were in for a real surprise when they found tens of thousands of dollars in the pockets of some donated suits and a robe. Our Tim Pamplin has more now from Monroe.
By all accounts, it was a typical day here at the Goodwill store on Telegraph Road in Monroe. Donors were bringing in their supplies to be sold for charity. It's not a glamorous gig, this, going through people's unmentionables, brassieres, blouses. But for this store manager, Tyler...
So this coat here actually looks like a pretty nice one. This is
it turned out to be anything but a normal day. He was sorting out one bag of clothes, came across a blue terry dressing gown, and then...
And I saw a blue envelope sticking out of it, so I assumed it was probably just garbage, but I pulled it out of there, and that's when I saw the money.
Well, just how much money was in the dressing gown, Tyler?
$43,100.
Sure, Tyler's found things in pockets before.
You know, a couple quarters, some used tissues.
But $43,100. Now what do you do? You call the Monroe Police Department. Please return that money to the family. And Tyler got a visitor the other day.
Actually, he came in and personally thanked me. It was very humbling. Very, very nice.
And as the sign says, goodwill, improving lives, one job at a time.
Hey!
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm working for a come up. This is freaking awesome.
Yo, walking to the club like, what up? I got a big duck. I'm so pumped about some kicks from the thrift shop. Eyes on the fringe, yo, it's so dang frosty. The people like,
yo, where'd you get that shirt, Scotty?
Ha, rolling deep, heading to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Rose a green, draped in a leopard mane. Girl standing next to me. Probably should have washed it, for this smells like Mitch Ross's cream.
Oh, what?
But hey, it was 99 cents.
Got your cabin and washing it as you go. And get some compliments passing up on those markets. And someone else has been walking in. Bummy grungy, forgetting that I ain't stopping and fussing and saving my money. And I'm super happy that's a bargain.
I'ma take your grandpa style. Now for real, ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? The Lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Wookie brown leather jacket at the foundation.
They had a little pinky door. I bought a little pinky door. I bought a please blanket. And then I bought a knee door. Yeah, hello, hello, my ace man, I'm Miller. Yeah, we ain't got nothing, I'm a pin game owner.
Hey.
Some
pro
wings, make them cool and
sell those.
A sneaker had to be like,
you got the Velcro, I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm one looking for a come up. This is freaking awesome.
Yo, what you know about rocking a wolf on your noggin? What you knowin' about wearing a fur from skin? I'm thinking, I'm searching right through that luggage. Yo, one man's trash, what's another man's come up?
Jeremy, your auntie, your mama, your man. I'll take a spade on Zebra Jeremy. Secondhand, I rock that leather. The bills are worth it.
The beat game, come take a look through my telescope. Trying to get girls from a brand, no, 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 you won't.
No, no, mama,
no, 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 you won't.
There is no way.
No, 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 you won't.
I'll bring your brand new clothes. I'm looking incredible. I'm in this big old coat. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up. This is freaking awesome.
Everybody,
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is freaking awesome.
Hey, Avi, is that your granddad's
come? Shut up, fool.
Sorry.
British acting royalty met with actual British royalty at a reception for the dramatic arts held by the Queen at Buckingham Palace. Man of the moment, 12 Years a Slave director Steve McQueen was joined by Helen Mirren, both fresh from BAFTA wins, and they were joined by other British stars, including Helena Bonham Carter, Joan Collins and Roger Moore. The Duchess of Cambridge was also on hand to help greet the guests, which included Hollywood representation in the shape of Uma Thurman and super producer Harvey Weinstein. And as the Queen spoke to director McQueen, she revealed where she keeps her honorary BAFTA.
Yes, we won the last night.
Last night, was it?
Yes, we won best film and best actor at the BAFTA, so we're very, very happy.
Well, I thought it was rather nice the way the actor said it was your
yes.
Surprise.
Yes, it was. Very kind.
I couldn't help looking at mine. My BAFTA, which I keep on my above the television.
Mirren has actually played the Queen twice, which makes her slightly apologetic when she meets her.
I feel like saying, I'm so sorry, Mom, and I promise you I will stop soon, you know. It's my job, and I'm asked to do it, and both times I've done it, it's been written by Peter Morgan, and he's a wonderful writer. But I do at the same time feel it's a little bit intrusive, and I feel slightly awkward about that.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. That kind of luck just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows we're fine with this. We didn't come for money, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, or tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. Oh, 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 oh.
Begin with this murder defendant opening up about a life of crime so evil many doubt her confession. Reportedly once a victim herself, this 19-year-old woman says she has victimized many. In this jailhouse interview, Miranda Barber tells the Daily Item newspaper that she has murdered too many times to keep track. Let me quote her specifically. She says, "When I hit 22, I stopped counting." And then she explains to this Pennsylvania paper why she embraced a life following the devil. She was all of 13 at the time. National correspondent Susan Candiotti has been following this case for us today. And so here she is. She is charged with killing a man she and her husband allegedly, you know, found and lured through Craigslist.
Right.
And reportedly it was the answer that this victim, this man, gave her. That is what pushed her to stab him 20 times. Yes?
That's what she's now telling the reporter. In essence, Miranda Barber told the newspaper that after luring this man to her car, they were supposed to get intimate. She told him that she was a minor, and she claims that was the wrong answer because he said, "Oh, it's okay." So she stabbed him 20 times and says that her husband, who was hiding in the back seat, then moved forward and strangled him. And then she went on to claim, and she didn't seem rehearsed, according to the newspaper reporter. She said that she killed more than 22 people in four states, Alaska, California, Texas, and North Carolina. And the newspaper quoted her as saying, "I feel it is time to get all of this out. I don't care if people believe me. I just want to get it out." And she also claims that when she was 13 years old, she was a member of a satanic cult, and that the leader of that cult forced her to shoot a man that he was murdering and forced her to participate in that murder, and that's what she said helped lead her to the life she has led over the years.
Fry and Peter Hartman are a long-term couple who recently began experimenting with a new approach to spicing up their relationship. Saying that it's proven to be surprisingly effective, the couple told reporters today that for the last several months, they've been trying out an open relationship that frees them to emotionally burden and exhaust other people.
At some point, Peter and I realized that we're both grown-ups. We both trust each other. It just seemed like the right time to open ourselves up to meeting other people and barraging them with our crippling emotional neediness.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I still want to vent to Allison about all the anxieties I have at the office until she wishes I would just shut the fuck up. But sometimes you just get the urge to sap the life out of a different woman for a change.
The flexible arrangement has allowed Fry and Hartman to participate in a variety of tiresome and psychologically draining one-off encounters with partners ranging from close acquaintances to total strangers.
It's been working out great for us so far. I mean, just this week I was chatting up the cute girl that lives downstairs and I invited her up for coffee. Before you know it, I've got her on the couch listening to me drone on and on about how I'm afraid I'm becoming my dad until she wants to rip every last hair out of her head and never see my stupid fucking face again.
The couple also told reporters the agreement has provided a refreshing change of pace for their own volatile and mentally taxing interactions.
Of course, there was a time when I couldn't imagine saddling anyone but Peter with my extensive emotional baggage and trust issues, but now that we've tried it.
The best part is, when we're back together, all we really want to do is drain the living shit out of each other.
Have you ever
never met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait. Well, let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour on concert. She had long hair and a short mini skirt. I just got on stage dripping porn with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions, see if you're under proof. I asked her her name, she said blah blah blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took her to a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said,
I was very amused.
I started throwing bass, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kinda strange. Then I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said,
no I don't, I only have a friend.
You got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh baby, you've got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend. Oh baby, you've got what I need. But you say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
So I took blah blah's word for it at this time. I thought just having a friend couldn't be no crime. Cause I have friends, and that's a fact. Like Axel, DJ, but Benatar's whack. So forget about that, let's get on to the story about a girl named blah 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 that adored me. So we started talking, getting familiar, spending a lot of time so we can build up a relationship or some understanding how it's gonna be in the future we're planning. Everything sounded so dandy and sweet. I had no idea I was in for a treat. After this was established, everything was cool. The tour was over and she went back to school. I called every day just to see how she was doing. Every time that I called her, it seemed something was brewing. I called her on my dime, picked up, and then I called again. I said, yo, who was that?
Oh, he's just a friend.
You got what I need. She'd say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend.
Oh. So I came to her college on a surprise visit to see my baby girl. It was so exquisite. It was a school day. I knew she was there. It was the first semester of the school year. I went to a gate to ask where was the dorm. This dude made me fill out a visitor's form. He told me where it was, and I was on my way to see my baby doll. I was happy to say I arrived in front of the dormitory. Yo, could you tell me where is door 3? They showed me where it was for the moment. I didn't know that I was in for such an event. So I came to a room and I opened the door. Oh, f***! Guess what I saw? A fella's tongue kissing my girl on the mouth. And I was so in shock, my heart went down south. So please listen to the message that I say. Don't ever talk to a girl who said she just has a friend.
You've got what I need. You say he's just a friend. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you got what I need. You say he's just a friend. But you say he's just a friend.
A veteran firefighter is accused of preying on an underage victim in public places.
Police say he had sex with the girl inside a school and outside his Queen Anne firehouse.
Investigators say the Seattle firefighter told them he knew the girl was just 15, but didn't stop.
On one occasion, detectives say he sexually assaulted the teenager on the same property where his wife and children live. Como 4's Joel Marino is live outside the Queen Anne Fire Station where the suspect has worked for years. Joel?
Dan and Molly, firefighter Mike Sulak is wildly popular with coworkers for the gourmet dishes he cooks up here at the firehouse. However, now he's on administrative leave while charges of child rape play out in court.
Just in time for the garlic.
He built a reputation among colleagues as a top-notch chef.
When the bell hits, you drop everything because that's what we're here for.
Now, and Mike Zulak's status with the Seattle Fire Department could be in jeopardy following his arrest for child rape.
Well, in this case, the third degree, it's not forcible rape, but it's rape of a child that's unable to give consent.
Whatcom County Sheriff Bill Elfo says the victim's parents suspected the 15-year-old was in a relationship with Sulak last November. They discovered inappropriate text messages under a contact listed as lover.
They met as part of a theater group they both belonged to.
That group rehearsed and performed in rented space at Meridian High School in Bellingham. Charging papers revealed a 53-year-old Seattle firefighter first had sex with a girl following one of those shows. Shortly thereafter, investigators say the girl ran away from home to stay with Sulek in a trailer on his property.
She was spending time with him in a camper here in Whatcom County, and he told the parents that he had had contact with her and had taken her to church, which was not accurate.
Detectives believe the most recent sexual assault happened at Fire Station 8 atop Queen Anne. The sheriff says Sulek drove the girl with him to report for work.
She visited him at the Queen Anne Fire Station in Seattle and had relations with him in his vehicle in the parking lot.
Hey, it's Joel Marino with Como Channel 4.
On Monday, we tried to confront Sulek about the criminal charges.
News story. I was trying to get some clarification on some things, sir.
Could I leave you the firefighter ran from us into his house while another man he was with insisted we leave the property.
We're leaving. Sulek
has bailed out of jail, but he is charged with three counts of child rape and one count of unlawfully harboring a minor.
Everybody get up. If you can hear what I'm trying to say, if you can read from the same page, maybe I'm going deaf, maybe I'm going blind, maybe I'm out of my mind. Okay, now he was close, tried to domesticate you, but you're an animal, baby, it's in your nature. Just let me liberate you. You don't need no papers. That man is not your maker, and that's why I'ma take a good girl. I know you want it. I know you want it. I know you want it for a good girl. Can't let it get past me. You're far from plastic. Talk about getting blasted. Hey, these blurred lines. I know you want it. I know you want it. I know you want it, but you're a good girl. The way you grab me, must wanna get nasty. Go ahead, get at me. What do they make dreams for when you got them jeans on? What do we need steam for?
Not guilty verdict against the police officers who savagely beat homeless man Kelly Thomas to death in Fullerton, California. The jury system has once again failed to hold cops accountable for their actions. You might remember the case of 24-year-old college football player Jonathan Farrell. After getting into a severe car crash while driving in North Carolina, Farrell managed to get out of the car and stumble to a nearby house to seek help. The woman at the house, scared by Farrell's presence, called 911. And three police officers arrived at the scene of the crime to save the woman in distress.
Officer Randall Carrick maintains that Pharrell began acting aggressively when they arrived. So naturally, he shot the young man 12 times and killed him. Subsequent investigation by the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department found that the shooting was excessive and that Carrick had no legal right to discharge his gun. Yet despite all the mounting evidence against Officer Carrick, yesterday a grand jury announced that it will not indict him on manslaughter charges and asked that Carrick be charged with a lesser offense. Thankfully, prosecutors are not giving up the fight and plan to resubmit the voluntary manslaughter charge against him. But I'm not holding my breath on that one, guys. This discouraging development once again shows the absurd level of impunity that cops are continually granted in this country for committing murder. And in the past few weeks, police officers across the country have continued to perpetuate acts of brutality against everyone from teenagers to the elderly.
Yo, Chuck, we got running mixes in the headphones.
Thank you. Last month, a 53-year-old Ohio death row inmate named Dennis McGuire was executed in a way that had never been attempted before. See, normally inmates are put to death using a specific chemical concoction thought to be humane. Humane in the sense the prisoner is supposed to feel no pain. However, in this instance, the Ohio prison decided to experiment with a cocktail that had never been tried before. The injection comprised of the sedative midazolam, hydromorphine, a derivative of morphine. This deadly mix took 25 entire minutes to kill McGuire. And according to witnesses, he spent that time visibly struggling and gasping for air. So why are states turning to such unproven experimental methods of execution? Well, last year, European drug manufacturers announced that they would no longer be selling the U.S. pentobarbital, one of the primary ingredients in traditional capital punishment, because of ethical concerns. But that didn't stop several death penalty states here in the U.S. from moving forward with the practice. But beyond this barbaric ways this country executes death row prisoners, the very practice of capital punishment should be questioned. So here to debunk several of the most common arguments for the death penalty, I'm joined by anti-death penalty activist and host of Moment of Web Clarity series. Did I just say that
Moment
right?
of Clarity.
Moment of Web Clarity series.
Web Clarity
Lee Camp,
series.
What's going on, man?
How you doing?
So Lee, before we get into the reasons of why people should or shouldn't support the death penalty, I want to go back to this terrible chemical stuff that I just talked about. I mean, don't you think that we should really make executing more humane? And don't you agree with that Utah legislator that said that we should just bring back firing squads?
Yeah, I think firing squads is definitely the way to go. Let's just go back to the Wild West. I mean, after all, this is like a caveman thing to do, put people to death. So why stop at the Wild West? I say just club people, right? Just take just, it back another step, right?
Just rocks and clubs. Okay, let's go over some of the most commonly cited defenses of capital punishment here in America.
Because you hear a lot of people say how great it is, how important it is.
Clearly there's a lot, otherwise it wouldn't still be implemented here. I don't know about you, but I don't want my tax dollars going to keep murderers alive, Lee. Why should I pay to keep feeding murderers in prison?
Right, that's a great point, Abby. Well, first of all, it actually costs more to execute these people because of the court trials, because of the mandatory appeals. It costs a lot more to execute than it does to keep them alive. But secondly, it's just weird to be like, that person should die because it's 10 cents out of my taxes a year. Like, okay, so 10 cents for a murderer, no good, you don't want to pay that. What about 12 cents and it's a rapist? Well, what about 15 cents, it's a pedophile, you get a Tootsie Pop? Like, what kind of bargaining and dealing is this because of your 12 cents out of your tax dollars? It's insanity.
It is insanity. But you cannot deny. You can't, I mean, okay, you can argue about the money, whatever. We can argue about our pocketbooks all day. But Lee, you cannot deny that killing people sends a real clear message to all the would-be murderers in the country to not kill.
Exactly. It's a great deterrent. And that's absolutely true in that it's not true. Every study that's ever been done shows
that it doesn't. You mean, wait, people are actually still killing people right
now? People apparently keep killing people despite the death penalty. There's no difference in states that have the death penalty, don't have the death penalty, which makes sense because I think, not that I've experienced it, but I think when you're murdering someone, you're not thinking, well, let's see, 10 years down the road, I wonder if I'll be put to death.
Okay, Lee. Even if it's more expensive to kill these people, which, you know, who knows if you're lying on that one. Even if it really isn't a deterrent. Even, you know, you're saying that there's still murders happening. I haven't seen any evidence to back that up. But even if what you're saying is true, what if it were your family? Because that is the argument. What if it were your family?
Who were horribly killed. And the question is, do you mean my family killed by a murderer or my family member was innocent on death row?
Oh, snap.
See?
Turning those tables,
that's
aren't
the
you?
Question. What if it were your family that's innocent on death row? But then we get down to the best reason, right?
Why do you imply that these people are innocent on death row?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. I want to cover one other reason, that people always give. They always say, when you get through all the steps, they always get to the last one where they go, well, it feels good. Listen, it feels right to see Jeffrey Dahmer or Unabomber or some horrible person. It feels good to see them die. Well, here's the thing. Wouldn't it feel good to see, like, the heads of Goldman Sachs in a UFC fighting match with Brock Lesnar beaten with sacks of their own money? Yeah, it'd feel pretty good. And would it feel good to see the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills have drywall shoved
shoved in their mouths and spackled shut. Yeah, it'd feel pretty good. And would it feel good to see the heads of Exxon and Chevron dropped in oil and then covered in breadcrumbs and then sent into an enclosure with exotic birds and pecked? Yeah, it'd feel pretty good, right? Why don't we do those things? Because they're morally wrong. So if we find all those things morally unacceptable, why not a racist, faulty death penalty? And we haven't even gotten into the racist thing yet.
I really do want to see the heads of Goldman Sachs. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, we all.
In a bird sanctuary.
with their own sacks of money. I know you do, Abby. But we've decided as a society
that it's
morally wrong. But I didn't get yet to the racist thing yet, which is they've done studies, and in equal death penalty trials, the number one determinant of whether you're executed, race of the victim. Race of the victim.
Not the race of the perpetrator, race of the victim?
Of the victim. So apparently, you know, killing a black person, not that big a deal. But you kill a white person, you have harmed society, okay? So you could beat Will Smith or Oprah to death with a tennis shoe, and that doesn't really matter. But if you touch a hair on Gary Busey's head, then you have really harmed us. That's
basically what it comes down to is the death penalty is completely not only immoral, but it actually has had innocent people on death row in the past.
On a cold, dark night, there was someone killed 'neath the town hall light. Just a few at the scene, and they all did agree that the man who ran looked a lot like me. Well, the judge said, son, what's your alibi? If you're somewhere else, well, you don't have to die. And I spoke not a word, though it meant my life. I'd been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, Lord, nobody sees, nobody knows. Scaffolds high and eternity nears, and she stands in the crowd and sheds not a tear. But sometimes at night, where the cold wind moans in a long black veil, rise all over my bones. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, Lord. Nobody sees, nobody knows but me. Nobody knows but me.
Little
girl in Texas had all her dreams come true on Wednesday when her street turned into a magical scene from a fairy tale right before her eyes. 5-year-old Claire Langford was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer when she was just 3.5 years old. Her parents wanted to give her an amazing experience where she could be a real-life princess for a day. So her father Kevin dressed up as Prince Charming and carried her out of their home through a group of cheerleaders and into a beautiful white horse-drawn carriage. Claire's parents told reporters what the day meant to their family.
This was incredible.
We just want her to know how much she's loved. And I think that's what anyone would want to know in their lifetime, no matter how long or short it may be.
Little Claire's carriage passed through hundreds of neighbors and well-wishers as people waved balloons, a marching band played songs, and locals threw flowers. So, what did Princess Claire think of it all?
Princess Claire!
I like it!
Bright blue sky. Now and then,
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want? Sound of this.
Sound of this. Single male seeking female with a beautiful mind and a physique to keep me peeping like, damn, she's fine. Let's take a date with destiny. Shoot across the galaxy, just me and she and I acting out fantasies. Hobbies me, swimming in the Milky Way, playing marbles with the stars. My noggin spaced out like that, no sense. Why even charge me a malarkey? Grounding my heartbeat, but my mind's skylarky. Hold the phrase, but if like a car key, roll with me. The brain race like road rage. Strap in before you start me up. Where the sidewalk ends is where I dare to jump. Parachute while shooting out paragraphs. Let's rap of conversation to tickle your funny bone, make you laugh. Yeah, I'm comedy, but not funny like ha-ha. The type of funny that you chuckle at when out of your mind. Birth sign Aquarius. People think they see me like, where we go, there he is. Thoughts don't drift in one line, movements various. I'm a daydream catcher for your love and laughter. I fish, sailing on the winds, blown after making a wish. You're number one on my to-do list.
If so, beautiful your mind is. Your money or your mind, which is timeless. Most seek fortune, but it's rare that you'll find one millionaire in 10 with a beautiful mind. You can't buy youth when you're old or food for your soul. Friends when you're lonely or when love has grown cold. The wealthiest person is the poorest at times when compared to the one with the beautiful mind. It's the muscle I use to hustle my voice, to tussle to choose. Management of thought in my shoes, not easy at times. Voice of chatter at night, meaning of mind. Inside of my tech, this and never woman passes your nose. Left an impression for life, a possession in time. Lesson in strife, decompression of love. Lies from the past embodied in me, regretfully free. Free to wander the plains, universe is the sky. My body lies over the ocean, but my mind will fly. Beautiful things, shelter from the rain. Forgetting the pain, letting it stream down the drain. In the form of denial, the trial and error. Just stare at your problems with heroism and wit. Beginning of sin, end of the beginning, and then some numb it with narcotic descent from the demon within. Slurring the vision, wisdom occurring through prism. Colors of hope, shining bright like a beacon. It's my eye when I'm speaking. Third is the level I'm freaking flows. For the people who listen, know that it's all a tradition. Grow with a plant on my purpose, land on my feet in a circus ring. I'm a master to work the crowd with a beautiful mind, attack the time. If so, beautiful your mind is. Your money or your mind, which is timeless. Most seek fortune, but it's rare that you'll find one millionaire in 10 with a beautiful mind. You can't buy youth when you're old or food for your soul. Friends when you're lonely or where love has grown cold. The wealthiest person is the poorest at times when compared to the one with the beautiful mind.
I know I'm only using 10% of what you offer, but I feed you what I'm reading, trying to brighten up my chakras. Imposters hide behind degrees and certificates. Some seek to expand you by using barbiturates. I'm sitting with this book, trying to get a better look through these words as a mirror. I should hope to see you clearer. I'm a figment of your imagination, it appears. So mold me, shape me, hold me, take me. Existence is a window and our dreams are the draperies. Lately I'm lonely, cause you're still the only one who understands my plans and consoles me. I'm hoping we can find that match for our soul, and through that union we become a new whole. But for now it's you and I in the life we create. Destiny we control and the fate that we shape. That's enough to keep us busy till we find the right mate. So if we never do, at least I had this time with you. One body, one mind, we combine the two. A pair like us, you only find a few. Until my last day, I pray I stay this way with you.
Your money or your mind, which is timeless. The wealthiest person is the poorest at times. Beautiful mind. Beautiful mind. Beautiful mind.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.